dear Pillars of Eternity, thank you. I imagine this feeling happens to gamers when they find their perfect match, as you are to me. Your real-time with pause combat, isometric view, RPG, lore-heavy, character-rich fantasy world has captured my geeky little heart. And to Obsidian, the studio brains behind this beautiful story, thank you for taking a chance on this game. You guys put your heart and soul into it, and it totally shows. I could spend another 100 hours playing it, and that's 150 if you include the load screens. I'm Julia, and this is Controller Freak. I'm your host, Julia, here with my steadfast bruise, Owen and Aaron. Hey, bruise.
Hello.
Hey.
Ooh, okay, we got some different voices today over here.
Some Adirin. Some Glonfather.
Yes, Owen.
I had to look at my notes for that.
I am so proud of you. Before we even say the title of this game, I just want to say that I'm proud of you.
Oh, thank you.
Because this is not an easy undertaking.
I don't know. Most people love this game. I just had a tough time.
I think it's tough to play if you don't think it's the greatest time ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate you. Tell us, tell our listeners, what did you play this week for us?
We played Pillars of Eternity.
Oh, yes, we did.
More like Load Times of Eternity, though.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yes.
Rimshot right out the gate.
I really like the visual of Owen in like a teal suit, like doing like an hour long like stand up set, like virulently anti Pillars of Eternity before like an extremely pro Pillars crowd. Just having everyone like react.
Cut to still screen of my face. Yeah, that's me. How did I get here, you might ask? In front of a pro-Pillars crowd. I didn't even know such a group existed.
When I was writing my virulently anti-Pillars material.
Ugh. This is a big deal, though, this episode, right? Because we've talked about doing this game for a long time, and I've always refused.
Yes, like...
I appreciate you saying that.
What was the earliest... You cited as your favorite game in, like, an early-ass episode.
Because you love this game, Julia.
I will just say for the record, this is my favorite game ever. Yeah. I know I said that. I probably have said that hyperbolically.
You have.
You said that about Ark.
Okay. Well, all right. There's stuff to be mined there. But anyway, this truly is my favorite game in the universe. Thank you, Obsidian.
It's wild.
Thank you.
It's wild to me.
Thank you so much for this perfect gem. This Audra gem of a game. It is so good.
You have been, like, consistent about... That. Mm-hmm. About that you love this game and it is like, it ranks very, very high among your all-time games list.
I've yet to find something that I enjoyed more completely than the complete experience of this game.
Yeah.
To me, it ticks off all of my personal boxes, which I am developing as a gamer, things that I like, as I'm sure you guys have your own personal lists.
But it doesn't have things that you like. Like, you can't romance anybody in this game.
Yet. I mean...
What do you mean, yet?
Well, we all knew the sequel was coming, and we all knew that the people had spoken, and the people want to fuck.
Okay, right. But that's the sequel.
Mm-hmm. I guess there's enough tension built into the interactions that you can kind of use your imagination. Like, you're right. It's not choices level. It's not nearly where it should be.
No.
But there is a Drake, and you do kind of get the sense that you're building something for episode two. Give me an inch, I'll take a mile, Obsidian.
Okay, mm-hmm. So you were playing the long game.
Oh,
with
yes.
A companion.
The
within
real
a
long
very,
game.
Yeah, very long
game. This game, I believe, came out initially in 2015, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was, again, funded by a Kickstarter.
Yes!
Right? Like the last game we talked about,
yes.
Undertale.
It was Obsidian's, like, baby. But the idea was, and why they crowdfunded it, I just read this today, so it's not like I, like, already knew this. came upon this knowledge. Was that their whole plan to like create a game that was nostalgic of the old isometric PC RPGs like Baldur's Gate and Icewind Dale, and Planescape Torment.
Games I never played.
But... No, and I did, but Julia didn't either.
Right.
No.
And that's what all the more amazing that this is like one of her favorite games.
Yeah.
Because that nostalgia factor is not a part of this at all.
Yeah, it's like we've broken the spell of like what constitutes an old-timey game for Julia and what does not.
Aaron, do you like this game? You love this game.
I do. I love this game.
You also love any RPG with, like, a medieval fantasy. I think you are an extremely easy mark.
Yeah. Yeah.
No offense.
No. I, your point is taken. And I think it's true. I think what gets me about this game, which I also did love about Baldur's Gate and those types of games. So yes, the nostalgia factor is there for me. But also, like, the depth of roleplay is, like, amazing to me.
Games like these that I can't really connect to,
yeah.
I feel like I'm... like, there's something wrong with me as a gamer who loves games. I can't get into these.
It's just not your bag.
And no, like, everybody's got their own bag. That's true. Would this... is it something, Owen, that, like, since this is based around the structure of Dungeons & Dragons, that, like, that's where the turnoff is? Because you're not really a D&D guy? And, like, Aaron is a little bit more than you are?
My biggest issue with Pillars of Eternity... I find the combat system deeply unsatisfying.
Oh.
Deeply unsatisfying. Because it looks like a bunch of ants fighting. Like this game, when it's like... because you have a big crew in your party. Like, there's several members of your party.
Sure.
And when you're fighting, like 12 dudes, and it's just, like, chaos. And I don't know who's doing what to who. Like, I can't tell how much these attacks are damaging... specific characters. It's like, and you know, I'm not controlling these individual characters. I'm giving them commands.
Right.
And it's something about that. It doesn't land for me. Mm. And
so you really feel disengaged from it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think a lot of other parts of this game are really cool. I think the writing is pretty good. I think the music is absolutely gorgeous. Mm. I like the art style. I need to feel the battles more than I do. That's my main problem. Also, I think this game needed a little more lightness, and I could have used a little humor. I could have used a little dumbass humor.
The Eurogamer agrees.
Oh, there's plenty!
It's reading reviews. To be fair,
I did not get that far. I got it to about Act 2 of this game.
Okay, I'm trying to think narratively.
I didn't connect to the characters as much, and I feel like if I had played for longer, maybe I would have, but I just... mm-hmm. Yes, it just wasn't my bag.
Okay.
No, and like, even people who love this game otherwise, there's a strong contingent of people who are like, please God, like, ditch the real time with pause battle and just make it turn-based, which they did in a huge patch for Deadfire.
Sequel.
Right, so you can now play that with a turn-based...
well, we'll do the sequel eventually.
Oh, yes,
see how
we
that
will.
Changes. Eventually.
Playing currently,
but like,
not for a while, though.
My point is that I think the real time with pause, like, battles...
mm-hmm.
I think that is a huge function of, like, that's the heritage of these games. But, like, I don't think as many people, like, miss it or, like it.
You know?
I see more comments about, like, please God, let there be turn-based combat in this next one.
Okay.
Because I think...
that makes me feel a little better.
Totally. I think originally it was, like, there had been limited, like, D&D to video game, like, adaptations. And I think people were nervous that, like, turn-based combat... was going to be too slow or boring. And in the years since, it has been proven that, like, that's fine. We'll do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, the real time with pause, I agree. It gets messy in a way that's not always... and you tell people to do things, they don't do them for, like, 5 seconds.
Right.
You're like, what's going on?
Spot on! Gotta try something else!
Can I ask a question to start off?
Yeah, yeah.
What is a Pillar of Eternity?
Hey!
I'm not kidding. I'm not being funny.
The student becomes, the teacher becomes the student.
I genuinely want to know.
Oof. Okay, Owen. Well, we're going to get here, but strictly speaking, in world, the Pillars of Audra, which is that, like, material that's coveted for different reasons and has different uses, you know, both mystical and practical, has formed giant pillars throughout the world of this game. And, of course, Eternity... the Wheel of Souls, the theme of death and rebirth. I think they're sort of combining those two concepts of, like, the world rests on this idea of the cycle going around and around. What are you going to do about it? Where do you fit in?
Okay. Nice. Nice.
Kind of like a Mass Effect.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But slightly different. Less about the internet and more about time.
Cool.
I think literally the pillars of Audra is the big thing.
Right.
These this is an element that like can house souls.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those are the literal pillars.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I kind of knew that. Honestly, okay. I just wanted to hear your answer. But I did sort of get that much, at least.
Okay.
What the pillars do.
Yep. I can't talk about how much I love this game without talking about divine intervention in a way. Because it was almost like the way it happened was very bespoke. Like, I was sitting in the living room with Aaron, and I was like, man, I really, like, I'm yearning for a game to play right now, but nothing matches the criteria I want. And Aaron was like, well, what do you want? And I was like, well, I want to make my guy. I want to have a big world with lots of lore. I want to have dialogue choices. I want turn-based combat. And Aaron was like, you know, you might like this Pillars of Eternity thing that I keep seeing that's just been ported over. And I was like, sure. And it was like a glove that fit perfectly. It was like made for me.
So this is your fault, Aaron.
Well, yes. No, it's God's fault. As Julia said, Divine Intervention, I didn't say
it's Magrin's
fault. I'd never played it before, but I literally felt the hand of Wutica, pierce up my ass and control my mouth and say, Pillars.
Because you're a watcher. You're a watcher.
I'm something.
Oh, he's a watcher.
Aaron was able to look into your soul.
Yes!
And, like, see the reincarnated soul of someone else or something? I don't know.
Of a D&D nerd who, like, really wanted
that
to
somehow
survive.
Ended up in your body.
Yes!
So, right, the Watcher is the player character of Pillars of Eternity.
And as we've said, or as I've said, you do make that Watcher. You
yes.
need to create that Watcher in a pretty good character creator with a lot of different races, classes, specs that are, you know, carry over from D&D, but like also some that are special just for this game.
Yeah, this isn't a D&D-based system.
Yes, it is.
It is.
Isn't it?
Fuck you, yes it is.
No, I mean, it's inspired by Dungeons and Dragons for sure, but like, this isn't D&D like 3 or 3.5.
No, it's not exactly that.
The character sheet you get seems pretty D&D.
It's pretty D&D though,
it's,
right?
It's very reminiscent, and like, it's very tabletop, you're absolutely
yes.
right.
Yes, yes I am.
Not D&D, but fuck me, right?
My show, and I am the gamer.
This isn't Critical Role.
It's true.
We're not here to talk about D&D or act an entire campaign.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you're saying,
Go ahead.
Very deep character creator, yes?
So who did you guys make? Oh, and let's start with you. Who was your watcher?
It should be noted that the first time I played this game was when me and Aaron hung out one time, and Aaron tried to get me into it and was like, you should make this character, and we ended up making a dude who can, like, turn into a bear.
I did not know that was a
no,
thing.
I didn't know either.
Owen made, like, the most, like, amazing fucking weird Mary Sue that I've ever seen in my life.
His name was Grantistan.
Grantistan. He was, like, this, like, bearded, like, Nick Offerman dude.
Yep.
Who, like, was from the quote-unquote Living Lands, which is, like a crazy jungle. He was a scientist, and I think you were playing as a druid, which is like a character class where the druid can just turn into like a beast at any time, but otherwise it was like super weak.
Yeah.
I think. So like
I blame you.
You get into like bar fights. I saw you play like an hour of this,
and
I kept being like, oh, and like the depth of the writing is amazing. Like keep going.
Yeah.
And like there'd be guys would be like, kill him, like get him. And Owen's like, dude, just be like. Turn into a huge like bipedal bear, walk up, slug the guys, his power would run out, he turned to a regular guy again, and then just like get fucking killed.
I should have stuck with that character.
He
was pretty rad.
Yeah.
And I made a new character.
Hmm.
And I am now a moon god.
Oh, same.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Ooh, you're godlike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a ranger and I have a lion companion.
Cool.
That I named David.
It's super cool.
And I'm a moon god named Larry.
Named Larry.
Mm-hmm. Wait, okay. What are the rest of the deets on Larry? You're moon godlike.
Moon godlike, you're a ranger.
You're a ranger.
You're a ranger.
You're a male or female moon
male.
Godlike? Okay. What's your portrait? What does your face look like?
He's like a blue, he sort of looks like Dr. Manhattan a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
And like, are you, what are some of your traits? Are you like a drifter?
I don't know.
Whoa.
Like what was your culture, Owen?
Was I supposed to pay attention to that? Because it doesn't matter in the game.
But it does.
No, it doesn't. Nobody
it matters
is,
so much.
Nobody is ever like, oh, you're a
yes,
a
they
black
are. They literally
really?
Are.
Really?
Oh my god.
Because I didn't get any of that. That's one issue I had, was that it seemed like I could have picked whatever and no one's dialogue to me seemed any... I don't know. No?
Well, talk about your disagree.
Okay.
Strong disagree, huh?
Oh man, that's the reason this matters.
I see how it would. It's not very rarely does the story like branch to acknowledge that, which I get. It's I wouldn't call it throwaway, but it is like it's like a minor aside. Somebody will be like, "Oh, great, another Adirin," and then we'll proceed with the dialogue tree as planned.
Yeah.
So, like, granted, it's slight, but.
But you have dialogue choices based on your stats, like, you know, where your intellect is at, where your...
You were a godlike as well, Joya, right?
Yes.
Yeah, talk about your character.
I can go next. I mean, and my character, I'm playing Still in Deadfire, so she's fresh on my mind. I wanted to import my save, but hey, all right, that's an offline conversation. I had to recreate her again based on the choices I made, you know, a couple years ago. So I had a fun little, you know, it was helpful preparing for this episode to think through everything that she had done. But her name is Illy. That's I-L-I for those of you playing along at home. She's moon godlike.
Illy.
Just, you know, those are the letters I picked.
Eli. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, but like with an I.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, just again, divine intervention. Her portrait is like this beautiful moon god, like with a crescent moon on her face, and she's got just white eyes. There's no pupil, nothing. Blue skin, and she's like wearing these dramatic red robes. And I was just like, I want to take your journey, girl. I want to go with you. So, and okay, I think this is the game where I have the most RP'd. Can I say that?
Yes.
Do you think that's right, Aaron, based on what you've seen me do so far? Like,
RP.
That stands for role playing.
Right.
Let's check.
I've never heard it abbreviated quite like that,
okay.
So casually.
Well, hey, stick with me and you're going to learn some things. But I RP super hard when I'm playing this game.
Yeah, I guess so.
And that's like 60% of the joy for me is like, you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to. It kind of wants you to. So anyway, I have a lot about Illy memorized, but I'll just give you the pure facts.
Pure facts.
She's moon godlike. By the way, moon godlikes cannot have children. They can't reproduce. You should know this as well, just going forward for your journey.
So they're
kind of
like,
sad.
So they're like witchers.
They exactly like witchers. Yes. Also can't get venereal diseases.
Yeah. Godlike can't sire children.
Nope. Can't sire children. She is a drifter. So Illy never had a home proper. She just moved from town to town. In my sort of story of her, her parents abandoned her long ago because she was a godlike and they were scared of her. Hmm. Even though she's a moon godlike, you know, there are like strict Aethasians. Who knows? I don't know. They abandoned her. Okay. So she kind of lived on the road her whole life. And she's got a bit of street smarts because of that. Hmm. She's from Old Valia. Do you remember the town that you picked your personality from?
The region.
The region, right.
Old Valia.
Mm-hmm.
So she's Italian? I didn't know that.
Aaron...
Listeners, Old Valia is Italy. It's Italy and possibly Sicily. It's,
we were going to get to this, but
Italians.
Yes.
Everyone you meet from Old Valia is like, oh!
It's like, ah,
Matizio!
Exactly. Okay. I didn't know that, because Old Valia doesn't tell me anything. It shouldn't be specific to Italy, but it is.
Yeah.
So when I picked that, I just thought it was like this old sort of aristocratic nation, but here we are. She's Italian, like all the important women I know. I'm just kidding. There are plenty of other important women who aren't.
It's okay. Own it.
It's okay. Well, listeners, if you don't know, I am Italian. We don't talk about that
often
on the show.
No,
I don't know. You
forget.
Probably forgot.
It's not, it never comes up.
No, it doesn't come up. No, but yeah. Illy is as well.
So again, divine intervention. You didn't know that Old Valia was...
That's
like...
what I'm saying. The hands of the gods touched me when I played this game.
Yeah.
I feel spiritually connected to the world through a video game in a way that I never had previously.
Jesus.
Yeah. So Illy is the fucking bomb. She's dual-handed. She fights with a saber and a dagger, and she'll just fuck you. But she's a cipher. That's her class.
She is a cipher class.
And in the cipher, you can choose between, like, what kind of cipher, and she's really into mind fuckery. So she will, like, psychologically poison you and, like, suck your soul and, like, make you see nightmares. And, like, that is Illy's brand. Aaron, that brings us to you. Tell us who your guy is walking us through its journey.
My dude is a big blue Aumaua.
Aumaua.
He is a coastal Aumaua.
What's an Aumaua?
An Aumaua is sort of like a... They're like prettier, like orcs or giants. Kind of, they're just larger than human.
They're still kind of gross, though.
They have like markings and stuff, and like definitely. I think the stereotypes are that they're big brutes, but also I think that they're also marshals of their own empires in some situations. They're sort of scattered across this world of Aora, different sort of lineages of them. My guy wasn't raised in one of the traditionally Aumaua societies. He was raised in Edir, which is like the big old, like, sort of British-esque, like...
he's an imperialist Aumaua.
Elven human, yeah. And so that was his background, and he was a paladin.
Of course he was. That's pretty on brand, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I know, right? Big surprise. Big surprise. Big Aumaua paladin, play male, double-hander.
What's his name?
His name is Guyvrees.
Guyvrees.
Yes. There's two eyes at the end, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right about that.
Okay, so Guy Pearce.
Guy Pearce! Oh,
I should be so lucky.
We'd have known that's where it came
we'd
from.
We'd have to really CGI Guy for this. I think the real Guy. Guy Pearce is a beautiful man, but he's like 5'5", I think, right? Or something. Yeah.
So, the style, we talked about it a little bit. It's D&D, but it's also something called isometric. Do you not like that?
I guess not.
Can we pitch the rest of the facts about the game to Owen like that? This game was made in 2015, Owen.
Do you not like that? Because I love it.
Isometric.
It gives me XCOM vibes. You know, it's the same, like, I control, but I am removed, but I am here.
So isometric for the uninitiated, I believe it is the type of, like, three-quarters... Not quite bird's eye, but elevated view that a lot of these like classic like Baldur's Gate PC RPGs, CRPGs are in, which gives you the illusion of 3D, even though it is still, I think, 2D. It gives you that sort of sense of being, as you said, removed, but also kind of part of the action.
Yes.
And gives you a little more detail of the, like, environment and the characters than, like, a pure bird's eye view would give you.
Yeah, they look like ants. I keep saying that.
Yeah,
I really, I'm really committing to that.
I'm picturing you, like, looking out the window of a 747 and just being like, yep. I can't relate to these people.
Yeah.
It's true, though. It's, like, more removed than any other really...
Yeah. It's like being in the... cheap, shitty seats at a baseball game where you can't really see them. And you can sort of see, okay, something is happening.
Right.
But in this game, it's like even more chaotic than a baseball game. Hmm.
And the dialogue options didn't help to make you feel like closer to these insects.
No. Because I didn't feel like there was a whole lot of personality in my dialogue choices, which again, I feel like maybe some humor or some like cheeky...
What kind of lol moment did you need? You needed like... You needed, like, a comedy, like, a stand-up festival or something? You need a clown?
Well, okay.
You need a clown? Okay.
Owen. Take it easy. You know,
it's a perfect fucking game. Perfect.
I just... The lore of this game was very dense.
Right.
And, you know, they're throwing a lot of names at you. Mm-hmm. They're trying to build this world, but it's a lot. And I couldn't pronounce most of the locations in this game. Like, when you meet... Kana Rua, that's one of your companions.
Oh, yeah.
And Aumaua from the northern lands of Raute.
Pretty good.
Yeah. I'm just Raute. Like, yeah, I don't know. There was something, I needed something to draw me in, and it just wasn't there. And I didn't get it from the characters. And I liked the writing, but it didn't hook me.
Wow.
But, you know,
interesting.
People love this game.
I gotta say, the lore and, like, the density and just, like, the sheer, like, fuckery of how complicated it is, like, one of the things I love the most about it.
Fascinating.
Because for the first time as a gamer, I felt like I could let myself off the hook and, like, I didn't have to remember every single term or name or whatever for me to still get a lot out of it. And because I don't think it expects you to, like, it's like reading a really intense encyclopedia at some points. And, okay, like, no gamer is going to do that.
So can we talk about the seasons? Because they're called...
Oh, yes.
Is it Maj Prima?
They're a step up from Skyrim here in terms of stupidity. And there's, like, Fawn Prima for Midspring.
Mm-hmm.
Maj Prima, like you said.
Mm-hmm. What is Maj Prima?
Maj Prima is mild spring. Summer is Priestu and Majestu. Deep summer is Fonestu.
So clearly we got some prefixes at work.
I would love if a character said to another character in a town, like, hey, happy Folstanog.
Right.
Looking forward to the weekend, am I right?
Or like one of your side quests was like, okay, I'll see you next Fun Prima. And then like you had to like track it. Yeah. And if you didn't go, they'd be like, you said you were going to meet me on Fun Prima.
Yeah.
And you fucking didn't.
Right. If it
what
was just
wrong
if,
with
right,
you?
If it was just Curb Your Enthusiasm, right, I would have been all about it.
Yeah.
I would have been totally
this
about
Mordos it. This Mordos or next Mordos?
Mordos. Yes.
Everybody stays close to the wagons, got it? Stay out of the woods, and beasts take you if you were planning a stroll through those ruins up there.
What hooked me into the story, and the only thing you learn about what's going on at first, is that you see dead people, right? The Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
But also, there's this thing going on in this new land that you've come to as a migrant called the Hollowing. And I think that is a really cool mystery.
I agree. The Hollowing is cool.
And, like, sad and dark.
Yeah, because it's about babies being born.
Without souls.
Without souls.
No souls.
The Hollowborn.
And, like...
They're Hollowborn.
Mm-hmm.
Before you start to investigate, like, truly what is causing this, before you get to... And then you start to in the big city, really. You get to the big city and you, like, start to meet with the foremost animancers or soul scientists in the land to be like, what the fuck is going on?
This game is about the evil of unbaptized babies.
It is an Italian game.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Magico!
Yeah, a lot of old alien kind of philosophy in this. But my point is that for the first whole act of the game, you don't get any, like... You don't get a wizard cackling, being like, I did it. It's punishment from, you know, like, it's just these babies who are born, and a lot of people have ideas about what could be causing it that are prejudice or reflective of their biases.
Mm-hmm.
There aren't any good answers, and this terrible thing is happening that, like, people are reacting to differently. Some people are killing these babies. Some people are, keeping them hoping that they will return, but it's clearly, like, kind of fucking futile, and it's just these comatose, like, vacant babies who can breathe and not much else.
Can you imagine anything scarier?
But there's this cult of evil wizards.
Well, the Leaden Key.
Called the Leaden Key.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, but
they don't cause it, right?
You know they're not really responsible.
Right, because
they're involved.
They're being controlled by...
Theos.
Theos, who is one letter away from Thanos.
Yes.
I love.
True.
When I was playing, I was like, oh, Thanos? Oh,
Theos.
Thanos is in charge? Oh no, Theos. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Close.
So, no glove.
Yeah.
Right. Thanos is actually taking the souls.
Yeah.
And Theos. With the lead in Theos. Yeah. Sorry.
Easy mistake to make.
Yeah. Josh Brolin is taking the souls. Josh Brolin in a mocap suit.
Josh Brolin,
yes, Josh Brolin
mocapping for an asymmetric RPG.
I'm sorry, so Theos
is taking the souls, and with the Leaden Key, the evil organization, with their help, he's framing the animancers as the perpetrators behind this Hollowborn plague.
Because
he is working on behalf of interests that would like animancy to be illegal and not be allowed anymore.
Right, yes.
And of
Got
course,
that.
The big reveal there is that the gods are behind all of this. A god, in particular.
And in the first, like, two acts of this fucking thing, you get this religion, this, like, pantheon of gods. You have some companions who are very deeply invested in it, or who have very personal stories about it. But it is just thrumming in the background that this is the pantheon of this world. And I kind of took it as like the Elder Scrolls pantheon, which like I know Elder Scrolls has like a deep pantheon and it affects gameplay sometimes, but like I don't know their names.
Yeah.
And I don't care. And I don't have to care. This pantheon, though, tricks you into thinking that it's just like that.
But it's not.
And in fact, it bears really directly on everything that's happened.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that is not. It was hard for me to guess. What were you going to say?
So, okay, because I only got to Act 2 of this game, I did read a little bit about the plot and about where the plot developments go.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to ask something for clarification. So do you learn late in the game that these gods of Aeora, you find out that they're actually synthetic? They're robots?
Well...
Are they the Reapers from Mass Effect?
They're the Reapers. Same guys.
They're not the Reapers.
Okay, so it is like all the other games that we like.
They're not robots. I think synthetic in that they are man-made. The Ingwithans of old, who created all of this amazing machinery that like drives all the plot and the Leaden Key are using. The reveal is that these gods are real in that they exist. But they were created because the Ingwithans many years ago, they were expert animancers. They knew all about the soul. And in their research, they discovered there were no gods. Or if there were gods, they no longer existed. Ingwithan society was like fucking ravaged by religious violence. Were very religious societies themselves. And they said, this is not acceptable. So their solution, and Theos was a big part of this, way back hundreds and probably thousands of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They took... a lot of people, slaughtered them all at once. And using their soul-like apparatuses, they created this pantheon of gods. They fused these souls together and made these mighty, mighty, mighty beings that did exist and were based on, like, sort of archetypes of justice and, like, redemption and, like, war and good and bad.
Trickery,
like, mystery. And so they created their own pantheon. The Leaden Key was founded to protect the secret, which is that these gods are arbitrary. They're man-made. And you keep seeing visions throughout the game of this woman. Like, who is this woman? This woman who you interacted with in the past. And this is a woman who, long ago, was trying to spread the word. She found out that the gods are false. And you, in a past life, the Watcher, you betrayed her. And she was subject to, like... awful torture and
Whoa.
Like was burned at the stake and never recanted.
Whoa.
And so now basically you, the soul of the Watcher, which in past lives did all this awful shit with the Leaden Key, you're now forced to sort of reckon with it. But
so let me ask you something, guys.
Yeah.
Society ravaged by war and tragedy and plague and all other kinds of things invents gods to placate the people. And give them some peace, but also keep them in line.
Mm-hmm.
Sound like any other world you're familiar with? How about the one we live in, right?
God, I knew this was like going straight to like Sam Harris territory.
I mean, Pillars made a game based on real fucking mythology, man-made fables that like think like actions we've actually done as humanity. And then just been like, yes, we've made synthetic gods based on souls of 1,000 slaughtered people, Aaron. Yes, we have.
Okay.
Okay, go. No, all right. Okay, no, you tell me. What were we going to say?
Yeah. I think the question is definitely, like, if we could make gods, would it be moral? You know? And I think Theos' intentions...
But I think also the question is, are they gods if we make them?
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
You know, like, what is a god?
Absolutely.
And I think in that way, that's what makes the story so brilliant, is this conversation of, like, what's a soul? And, like, where's the magic?
Sure,
and
sure.
Who has control over it?
And, like, if these gods are... Like, the pantheon of gods is based on these, as I mentioned, the archetypes. Some of them are, like, wildly unjust. That's their point.
Yeah.
You know? The god of death can be very, very unforgiving. Of course, it's the god of death. You know, there's a whole god about rebellion and, like, hatred.
Mm-hmm.
And he could be real fucked up.
Yeah.
But that idea that, like, even if you had this exact same pantheon of very unjust and just gods, if they were in existence from, like, the start of the universe, they would have an inherent legitimacy. But we make the same pantheon of gods, And are they fake because of that? What makes them gods?
What just makes their them power? Gods? Or do they become gods when people start to revere them as gods? You could take that argument as well. Like, but the power is with the people. And that's such a cool, like, important idea for a video game. And I thought this did it really, like, magically.
Just the people giving these gods.
Like Peter Pan being able to fly in the middle of the show.
Yeah, it's true.
They all,
Tinkerbell.
It's the same
clap
thing.
For Tink.
Take out your iPhone.
She's literally powered by our applause.
Exactly.
Yeah,
same thing with Barack.
So she's a
god. Yeah.
Well, same thing with our politicians, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Who do we vote for? Who would he give the power?
Please
exactly.
Clap. Yeah.
Exactly.
Thanks, Obama.
A lot of people, for some reason, in California beginning to believe in the existence of Mike Bloomberg, which I'm not happy about.
Clap for Mike.
No, please don't.
No.
Okay. Please don't.
Because some gods could just buy an election.
Perhaps I could join you. I could use a change of scenery, and I find it's better to travel in numbers.
Can we talk about companions?
Let's talk about companions.
Mm-hmm.
We have not talked about them yet. Owen, you, go for it.
Aeloth, who's like this elf, he seemed like a super generic NPC in a game like this. And I loved him because he was like, because you're a watcher, right? And like, your soul has been awakened, and it's like this big thing. And then Aeloth, if you have a conversation with him, like a third into the game, he'll be like, I also have an awakened soul. And he's like...
What's supposed to rescue him from being, like, the stock, like, fey wizard is that he, his awakened soul has caused him to basically share his body with one of his previous lives' owners.
Right.
Which is this, like, body... Irish? Scottish?
Something like
a different accent.
Yeah.
A lady named Esselmere, who's very fiery and, like, the opposite of him. And so he'll, in moments of great, like, passion, when you first meet him, he's gotten into a bar fight, and it's kind of unclear why. And he's sort of this apologetic elf, but then all of a sudden he's like, fuck your mother!
Yeah.
And it's unclear why he did that, and he doesn't reveal it to you until, like, way, way later. But he's sharing this body with another soul. And every so often it's making him do shit that, like, he has to clean up and he can't control. And so I think he asks you to, like, can we go see an animancer so I can get this shit figured out?
It's an animancer, right.
Which you can choose to help him with or not.
Yeah. We didn't have time to get to it.
I was going to, though.
Yeah, you were going to.
I ran out of time. I'm sorry.
Owen didn't even go to the brothel, so, like,
right,
clearly,
you didn't go to Andra's whatever.
Andra's throbbing dick or whatever, yeah. Right, and that would be higher on the list for me than
yeah,
going
absolutely.
To Aeloth's
soul dungeon. So Aeloth and Esselmere,
right.
And also one of your main companions, a man called Adair, who's a farmer soldier from the Deerwood.
Yes,
all voiced by the same brilliant voice actor,
yeah,
Matt Mercer. We got to give you a shout out. This is basically his game.
Matt Mercer,
you know,
yeah, Matt Mercer controls the voice cast of this game with an iron fist.
Which only the DM of Critical Role. Could do.
I know.
Exactly.
I remember...
He's the gatekeeper of this game.
He was the true dungeon master. I remember, like... Yeah, Critical Role, like, a whole cultural fucking Dungeons & Dragons thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I had no idea what it was when we started playing this game. And we sort of became aware that he was, like, two characters in this. He's got in Persona. He's McCree in fucking Overwatch. He's, like, a prolific voice actor who has this amazing, like... range and, like, great, like, manly voice.
And he's easily confused with Troy Baker.
He's, like,
oh, it's
like
similar voices.
Sure. Yeah. Similar, like, bass, like, man voices.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We got along how brothers do. He used to throw water on me to wake me up in the morning. I used to fill his boots with stinging ants.
So he's Adair.
Which
you're very attracted to.
Now, there's some disappointing... I won't get into the spoilers for the second game. They have to do with Adair. And your inability to romance.
We can just say
So, you can't romance anyone in this game, but, like, if you could, I feel like a lot of people would romance Adair because he's just, like, a sex pot, and he just, like, oozes sexuality. And he's got, like, a drawl, and he's, like cut from marble, like, body-wise, like, great shape.
From what you can tell from the isometric,
under his 400
like a Stardew Valley-esque picture where it's just them from the shoulders up.
Yeah,
I've gone all blessed. Come on, I romanced in Stardew Valley as well, you know.
True.
Shame. Even less to go on. But, like, yeah, so he's kind of like, I feel like he's sort of one of the heartthrobs of this game, and he is one of the two people you cannot romance in the second fucking installment of this series. What a fucking crime. Which is, I think I tweeted at Obsidian, or maybe I just thought about tweeting at Obsidian.
You did tweet.
I was really upset.
Julia tweeted in like a real, like, sad nerd tweet. I'm sorry, but it was. You tweeted, "So excited to get Pillars of Eternity 2, which we just bought for the PlayStation. So, I wonder how you can import your game. Could you let me know? Also, so excited to sleep with the Dare," or something like that. And little did we know, there's no functionality for importing your game, and Dare is not romanceable.
So Obsidian did not tweet me back, because they were a little embarrassed.
They knew that you were going to be devastated.
Why? I mean, Adair and I were like, we were building this like sexual tension the whole game, and like, are you kidding me? Like, we're not going to capitalize that in the second chapter? It's so fucking stupid.
Yeah.
And like, anyone who's out there who's just like, oh, Adair strikes me more of like a bromance than a romance, which there are people who say, oh, he's more like, just seems more like a good friend to the Watcher, and like, that's where he should be, is like, not playing with your heart. You know, what I would say is open your heart, be vulnerable, like, let him in, and then see what happens.
Yeah. Spoiler.
You seem like kind of a tool.
No! What the fuck?
He's a little bit of a tool.
He's not the sharpest tool in the shed. No. Like, they're always talking about, like, oh, your friend here is not very smart. Yeah. Or, like,
are they?
Yeah, well, especially in Deadfire, they're just like, oh, this one's kind of, like, all brawn, no brains, you know? Deadfire,
I can see that.
In Deadfire, yeah. He's, like, literally, like, kind of nuts. Like, whenever he sees any animal,
he loves animals.
He begins to, like, act like the animal and, like, attempt to commune with them.
Yeah.
It's really weird, but...
Yeah, they took him in an interesting direction, but, yeah.
I think he got hit in the head during, like, the events of
during the boss battle with, Thanos.
With Thanos, right.
So, yeah, I mean, I was just really invested in him the whole time. You know, jokes on me, though.
Even among these two characters, though, there's also, like, deeper thematic stuff that's going on. Like, Aeloth, it's revealed, is a member of the Leaden Key. He's actually working with them.
What?
And at the end of the game, you can basically choose, like, do you need him to dismantle the Leaden Key, or does he, like, become its leader, basically, and, like, use it to basically continue doing what it was doing, which is keeping secret that the gods are man-made.
God, there's always that fucking elf guy that's on the inside in all these games. There's always a fucking, like, Solas and Dragon.
There's always an Akechi-kun. You know?
So, like, yeah, elf. He's basically an elf.
He is.
Fucking elf shit.
Plotting elf shit.
Plotting elf shit.
It just proves you can never trust the elves. Vanimbe metse. Vanimbe metse. Senete de luces. Senete de luces.
Do you know it?
No. I'm afraid I can't say I've ever heard that particular tune.
Did you meet Sagani? Did you meet...
No.
Did you meet Palagina?
No.
Did you meet the Grieving Mother?
No.
Oh, the Grieving Mother.
Yeah, she's a significant character, huh?
Yeah, well, yeah. If you like.
No, I met Durance.
Okay, the crazy,
hermit priest guy.
I love Durance.
You do?
I just think he's, like, a really... When I think of, like, your healer in an RPG, like... Because he's your healer.
He's the one that heals you.
He's a cleric. He's a priest.
Doing that, but I couldn't tell because they all look like ants to me.
Was this healing for ants?
Do you need to move the TV closer? I tried that, man.
I also made an adventurer. I made like a dwarf girl.
Oh, don't do that.
I made a dwarf warrior named Hillary.
I'm with her.
Yeah. I actually really love that. Like, I love, like, 2 hours into the game, I could still, like, make a new character from scratch.
Yeah, totally.
Just for by going into an inn and being like, I want to recruit an adventurer. And then, here you go.
Yep. You're like, well, Hillary here is out of work.
Yep.
And she's getting real salty.
Yep. Hill dog.
Well, there are so many good characters, is the point.
Right.
So many.
I was born in the Seathwood, part of the mainland of the Adir Empire. And both of my parents served the nobility, which afforded me an education for which I am grateful.
World is so alive. we didn't even talk about Caed Nua, your home. Part of this is like a home interior design simulator where you get to like rehabilitate this old castle by like adding gardens and fucking.
Oh yeah! So the minute I saw that, I was like, "Nope, not doing this."
Really?
Oh yeah. Oh no! I was
like,
"This
was gonna be good for you."
This looks like a commitment that I want no part of.
This is the same Owen that I saw check on his velociraptors, like take their temperatures.
Owen.
Okay, well, if you told me that there were velociraptors,
there is a dragon.
There's a dragon.
Is that good?
What?
Yeah, there's a dragon at the bottom of your castle.
And there's like an extremely powerful splintered sword in your basement that you have to like reforge.
You
with the help of velociraptors.
With the help of I see we're not quite.
Okay, but
there's also
he's hearing velociraptor.
There's
not.
Also a dilaposaur that's got the flu.
Oh, see, you told me that.
Yeah,
I killed Mayor Wald. Remember him?
Yes, gotta kill Mayor Wald. He's the previous owner of Odnua. He's gone insane from being a watcher.
Yes.
And the statue told me to
to
help with that.
Your statue majordomo.
Raidrick, was that one of your like impactful quests?
That was my. I have that written down here as my Dark Knight of the Soul as a gamer. I don't know if you guys have ever had a moment like this, but this was like,
talked about this in other games.
This felt like a big turning point for me, Julia, because I just like could not kill him for hours.
Oh, it was very hard.
In real time. Yeah. Mm. And it was just, he was too OP and I wasn't good at combat yet. Like I still hadn't really like become fluent in it. And I was just like sweating and like crying and like, this is never going to happen. This is where the game ends, in this throne room.
Mm.
And then like, real time with pause is a thing, and like pausing it and setting up everybody's attacks and just going beat by beat and play by play. And literally nobody did anything without my say so. And I moved people around the boards where they needed to be out of harm's way.
Mm-hmm.
And that was how we did it. And that just felt like out of the darkness into the light. Like now I can do it. I can do it now.
Sure.
Truly. I just wish I liked the combat more. I just wish I looked at the combat more than just like my dude constantly yelling death to our enemies. Over and over.
Well,
and
you
over
didn't have
again.
To pick the arrogant voice. That's on you. Okay.
Yeah. That's also like a real like definitely Baldur's Gate the same thing. Julia was starting to play Baldur's Gate and I kept hearing "Stop touching me." And I was like, "Good old Baldur's Gate."
Like, oh,
the same voice line over and over again.
Yeah.
Yeah, and certain voice lines have become iconic, right? Like.
Yes.
Like, it gets a cheer every time you must gather your party before whatever.
Venturing
forth.
Yes, very classic.
That's very classic, like, woo!
Yeah. The Caed Nua, like the stronghold that you mentioned, there's a wonderful, wonderful parallel to Baldur's Gate 2, where you could also come upon, like, a stronghold that you have to, like, sort out. And then if you're the right class in Baldur's Gate 2, the owner of it is like, I need someone to basically become the puppet, like, lord of this castle and defend against the claims from the other lords around. And it's this amazing, cool, like, combat, but also, like, diplomacy thing where you're all of a sudden you've been, like, upjumped to nobility. Wow. Similar thing happens in Caed Nua where all of a sudden there's this, you've cleared out this castle, you've dealt with Mayor Wald. It's like, it's your castle, come on. But then some other lord, like, lays claim to it in the big city. And you have to, like, meet with him and be like, no, that's not how it works, blah, blah, blah. And eventually it becomes this, like, battle, this, like, huge, like, Braveheart battle where you have to make, like, decisions and, like fight on the field. It's really, really cool. And so I love that, just for, like, taking the best of the old and, like, making it new again.
At your command, the ancient device became your instrument, spinning to life with deafening resonance and gathering up the swirling essence like thread on a great spindle.
In the very end, your last choice is what you do with the souls that have been snatched from the wheel of life, you know? And different choices will appease different gods and or your own set, your own moral compass, whatever.
Because real quick, did you read this? To get to the end of the game, you actually have to get a god to, like, become your patron and, like, send you safely down to, like, this Ingwithin.
Oh, right. You can't go unless they sponsor you.
You have to find a god and convince them. And they all have, like, demands of you. Like, you have to do this with the souls.
Yeah, but they ain't mean shit. Like, I broke all my O's and, like, it's no big.
Okay.
Like,
yeah. Sorry, I'm sorry.
It is, yeah. You what? Know, you can trick gods. It's fine.
What did you do?
So I actually like Hylia, who's, like, the air bird god, whatever. And I felt like her solution in the very end was to send the souls back to the Hollowborn, and that was what I picked. That's what I thought was right.
There's an air bird god?
Yeah.
Hylia is like...
I'm simplifying, but like...
Yeah, gods of birds, and I think song and some other shit. Like, light, I think poetry, maybe, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, very light, airy, like, god. Nice god.
Like, festival god.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So yeah, I put the souls back in the Hollowborn. It wasn't right for everyone. Not everyone was pleased, but I'm at peace with it. Illy's at peace with it. I'm in chapter 2 now. I'm still at peace with it. So, like, I think it was the right decision.
Yeah, you feel okay about it.
I do. I feel okay about it.
Did they tell you, like, because I had the option to do that, and Hylia was one of the gods that sponsored me. I had 2 sponsorships.
Mm-hmm.
Not a big deal.
I had 2 as well.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah, I did. All the gods wanted to sponsor me, but
I got some interest from both.
Yeah, no, I had interest from almost everyone.
I was waitlisted on a 3rd.
Oh, okay. Was that Galwayne?
I was waitlisted at Galwayne. They, my party members, kept saying over and over again, like, it doesn't work that way. Like,
oh, everybody's going to have a dissenting opinion.
Was there any consequence that was like, because these Hollowborn, all kinds of shit have happened to them. Some of them have had their throats slit and like thrown in the lake. Some had animal souls put in them by animancers to try to make it better, and it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Was there any explanation as to like, did it fuck people up at all? Or?
The best answer I have for that is at the beginning of Deadfire, the sequel.
Yeah.
You import your choices, whatever. So that's one of the big ones they ask you about. And one of the first encounters you have is you get a message that's waiting for you on your ship from a mother of a Hollowborn whose soul went back into their body. Mm-hmm. And it's like, bless you. I can't believe that like this lifeless little body is now a person walking around laughing, crying, having a life. And it's thanks to you.
Right.
And I just feel really good about that. So yeah, haters gonna hate, but like it's the right thing to do is like give the people back their souls.
So okay, all right. Yeah. Well, I thought that was gonna happen. I thought there were gonna be like dead babies in the like fucking lake that were gonna come back to life and like drown and shit and like all kinds of crazy stuff.
I don't think that happens.
People were like, it doesn't work that way. You can't do it.
People are gonna say that, but you know, if we listen to everything everyone said, sound like any other society we're living in, right? You got to tune out some of the noise, is my point.
So, I decided to release the souls to the wheel, return them to the natural order. They'll be reincarnated, as is how things work in Aeora.
Sure.
And, like, great. The order is restored.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think Larry would have done with the souls?
We should give him the options, right?
Give him the options.
Yeah.
You can return the souls to the babies. They will become regular babies, apparently. No, no consequences. Big deal.
Yeah.
You could return the souls to the cycle. Just, you know, natural order restored. That's what Barath, the god of death, wants.
Yeah. That's what I did with the tower quest. I released them back into the cycle.
The alternative is you can, like, take them to, like, make yourself buffer, right?
Or you can give them to...
Yeah. Which is super fucked up.
Right, mm-hmm.
Take a bunch of baby souls to, like, get better packs.
Swallow the baby souls.
And some of the other choices are as fucked up. You can, for the god Wael, the god of mystery... You can send the souls to an unknown place, never to be found, which is pretty fucked up. Rimgard, the god of fucking frost, wants you to just fucking destroy him. Like, fucking ice him out.
Rimgard? Rimjob.
Rimjob. Skyrim.
Yeah. I don't think it's Rimjob.
Rimmerjob.
Okay.
Then I think Magrin and Galloway want you to infuse the souls into the land of the Deerwood, making it stronger for the experience. And I think that's about it.
Just give the souls back to the babies.
That's what I'm saying! 2 for me, 1 for you!
Just, you know.
Yes.
What happens to the wilder babies who have animal souls? What happens when they get their human soul back? That's all I'm saying.
Aaron, it's just a video game. Look, you're reading way too much into this.
My companion, grieving mother, who is Mary Louise Parker, she looks like Mary Louise Parker. I had a bit of a thing for her, okay?
Grieving mother is your companion?
She can be. And she is literally, it's so cool. She's a cipher And the effect her powers have is that no one ever really remembers her. So your other companions have no idea who she is. They're just like, this lady keeps hanging around. And they keep forgetting that she's been with you. Like, she helps you with the Dare's quest near the end.
That's really funny.
She, like, interacts with an object to tell him, like, what its past is. And he's like, I don't see what good, like, having a stranger, like, look at it will do. And she's been at your party for, like months.
That's really funny and interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so she kept telling me. She kept being like, you can't do that.
It's- I wasn't sexually attracted to her and or thinking with my dick. So I was like, yeah, that's your opinion, lady. And then when I had the
don't
option.
Blame Aaron for that.
For Gabe Reese's actions.
Yeah.
Well, look, I'm not going to do what a dare tells me to do just because it's a dare, you know?
Sure you are.
Illy's
yeah, you
do
definitely
what-
are. You
all right, maybe
were.
I am. Okay.
Spoiler alert. Julia, due to constraints beyond her own control, switched to Aeloth in Deadfire.
Oh, well, because you
it's
can...
It's still Matt.
Because you can romance him.
Yeah, exactly.
Still Matt Mercer.
It's still Matt Mercer, and that's good enough for me.
Yeah.
How do we end this giant episode? Final thoughts? Prayers? Is something you'd like to say to the next generation?
Don't play this game unless you really feel like it.
Don't make
and don't do a podcast about this game unless you want to play it.
Don't let your goddamn friends, Julie and Aaron,
because railroad boy, you know, you found a lot of connections to modern society, and that
and
you
don't
know,
you forget it.
You took a lot from that.
Yeah, she did.
I just think great storytelling. Thematically,
it's timeless.
Thematically, the timeless. A and B plots are in perfect conversation with each other.
What are the A and B plots?
Well, your journey as a Cypher who can see her past lives and figuring out, like, who that lady is that you alluded to earlier that you've been seeing in visions.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, your journey with Theos. And then the Hollowborn crisis and the soul, like, and the, you know, those things are, like, in conversation in a really interesting, smart way. Great writing, Obsidian, like... From the dialogue to the big concepts, I think both were executed really well. I liked looking at it, which I know you didn't, but I really just liked being hanging out in this world. Mm. I liked the characters. I thought they were all distinctive enough. And, like, I loved the quests. I loved the side quests. Mm. I loved how much there was to do. It was just like, come and play, Julia. You don't have to go home for a very long time until you absolutely want to.
Mm-hmm.
I loved the experiencing of leveling up Illy and, like, everything that allowed... I felt like that was in conversation with her as a character, and, like, those corresponded really nicely. So, like, skills and character had a lot to say to each other and informed each other a lot. And, like, I have not experienced
Jesus,
okay. all of these elements in the same game ever. They've all had pieces of these... But Pillars was the first game to have everything that I liked in one place.
So all those things that Julia liked, you didn't like them?
No.
Did you not like them?
Did you not like them?
I want to literally throw up right now.
Yeah. I think it's... correct me if I'm wrong, but just quickly, I think this is why if we were ever to... like, drug both of you. We being the royal we, I, Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
Was ever
so just, you've drugged me and Owen.
I've drugged both of you. Illegal. I've taken your unconscious bodies to a local tabletop gaming store on a special night of the month. And I'm forcing you guys to play role-playing games, role-playing tabletop games. I think in the end...
Why did you just mime a gun?
Because I have a gun. I have two guns.
I'm going to shoot us in the face at the end of this bizarre
you
fantasy.
You can't tell anyone. I think you would have a good time. I think you would not. And that's not saying anything negative or positive.
Why do we have to be drugged? I keep telling you I'll go.
Because it's not fair to drug just one of you.
I'm so confused.
I'm not opposed to tabletop games and everything that comes with it.
I don't think you would have fun, though.
I just, you're probably right.
Well, we've peaked, folks. For me, at least. Nothing will ever top that gem of a game. Nothing will ever even come close. That is, I guess, unless we're talking about a classic. Maybe, like... an outer space classic? Maybe like an outer space classic with a dope club scene and some sexy alien romance options?
Okay, damn. That actually sounds pretty good. Okay. We'll do Mass Effect 2 next time. See you back here on Controller Freak.